Well, as you probably heard in the news, in the last hour, the Foreign Minister Bob Carr has announced that the Syrian Charge d'Affaires in Canberra has been told to pack his bags and leave the country. His name is Mr. Jadwat Ali, and not just him, but another senior Syrian official have been asked to leave the country. The charge has been told to convey a clear message to Damascus that Australians are appalled by the latest massacre in Al-Hula and will pursue a unified international response to those that should be held responsible and taken to account. The Foreign Minister Bob Carr joins us now. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Carr. What are you hoping to achieve exactly by this step?
We're hoping to send, in conjunction with the rest of the world community, an unmistakable message to Damascus that it's to give effect to a ceasefire. And that means cease killing its citizens and to engage in a political dialogue, a political conversation with people opposed to it. That is the immediate challenge for people who want to end this appalling slaughter. This is the way forward for all those who are motivated by the pictures of corpses, including the corpses of young people.
Now, you say you, in conjunction with the international community, you've also flagged that you expect other international actions to be announced overnight. Can you give us any previews?
Yeah, I've been advised that overnight Australian time, you will see other governments take similar action to ours, that is expelling from their capitals, the Syrian ambassadors. The Chargé is the most senior Syrian diplomat in Australia. Expelling him and one of his colleagues is the way we send this message, but others will follow.
Now, there's an easy argument here to say that Australia doesn't really matter. We don't pack any economic punch. We're not on the Security Council. Do you think we'll make any difference?
Well, the logical extension of that sort of argument, well, it is for Australia to do nothing. Just do nothing in these circumstances, and I guess not to have a foreign policy. But we're a significant economy, number 13 or so in the world. In the upper range of middle power. You could make that argument, but we couldn't, in conscience, do nothing, and we're obliged to act and act in partnership with other global citizens.
Now, you've spoken here about sending a message to the Assad regime to abide by the ceasefire and to enter into dialogue. Of course, they can't do that on their own. The Russian Foreign Minister, Sergei Lavrov, has made the comment that the massacre over the weekend clearly involved not just the regime, but also opposition groups, that they were participants in this. Do you think that part of the problem here is that the Syrian government really has no one with whom to deal?
Certainly the Syrian opposition is divided. The Syrian National Council is said not to speak for the Syrians fighting in Syria. This has been one restraint, but the moment the government of President Assad says that it will give effect to a ceasefire is the moment that opposition forces will emerge unafraid from their cellars, from their hiding, and engage in dialogue. You'll see some of the same political activity you've seen elsewhere in the Arab Spring as political forces congeal and organise around programs. And that would almost certainly happen. The fact that the opposition is divided at the present time shouldn't be a deterrent to us seeking a ceasefire and insisting on negotiations and not slaughter as the way forward.
It's not just about whether or not the opposition's divided. It's about the fact that the opposition has been found to resort to torture and the opposition is violent as well.
Still, the alternative to insisting on a ceasefire and a negotiated settlement between the opposing political forces in Damascus, the alternative to doing that is to settle for nothing, just more drift and more slaughter. I think the starting point for us has got to be the Kofi Annan peace plan, the six-point plan. He's got the authority of speaking as a joint special envoy, both for the UN and for the Arab League, and we should take seriously that plan laid down in April, supported by the world community, and, as I said in interviews today, the only game in town, the only way forward.
Bob Carr, thank you very much for your time.
Good, Walid. Thank you.
He's the Foreign Minister of Australia, and we'll try to get some analysis on that as well later in the program. But in the meantime, your reflections on that are always welcome. 0418 226 576. Is this a step in the right direction?